Okay, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. You're going to get a break from Ephesians for a little bit because I won't be here to go into Ephesians 5. Chapter 5, verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to stop there because the next verse can bring up a lot of questions. Or no, the verse 22. But anyway, so we're going to hang out at verse 17 to start with. Before we get there, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we do thank you for this opportunity to teach your word, to preach your word, and for us to be able to hear it. Lord, help me to remember the things I've studied and Lord, to bring them out. And Lord, give us discernment. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 17, and we probably won't get much further than that. Actually, I'm going to jump ahead to verse 18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Really, that's in total control of the Spirit. And it's funny that Paul used this. Of course, the Holy Spirit gave him direction to use the drinking of wine. I won't make any of you answer this, but I'll throw it out there. You ever known anybody that's drank about a half a bottle of Jack or Wild Turkey or maybe a fifth or two of wine? It tells you why he put that. Travis Tritt had a song one time. He wrote, or somebody wrote, but he sang it, 10 foot tall and bulletproof. And that's what alcohol does to you. Alcohol controls you. You can have a little bit of it, and it's not a big issue. But when it gets to the point that you get pretty about halfway through a fifth, you start becoming controlled by it. You're no longer in control of your faculties. Your facilities aren't working quite right. That was supposed to be funny. But anyway, so you get to that point that's what's going on in your life. According to the Scripture, we're to be in control. I mean, we're to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. So in comparison to that, that's the way the Spirit should control us. I can't ask that because there's other people in here that haven't. So I'll just use myself. I have been to that point in my life where there was other things controlling my life. Now, that's the way we're supposed to be with the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to use it to the point of total control of our lives. If we could seriously get it down to where it was total control of our lives, be really good. Now, I don't want to be to the point of, I've had people say, well, you know, I've been drunk on the Spirit. No, you've been drunk by the spirits. There are churches that get to the point that they're drunk in the Spirit and they go berserk. They're jumping pews, running into walls, diving over into the baptistry. And that's not what the Bible's talking about. It's talking about allowing the Holy Spirit to have control of our thought patterns, the way we live our life each day. Amen. All right, so now we'll back up. By doing that, we're going to back up to 17. Now, verse 17, it's pretty blunt, pretty plain. It says, wherefore be ye not unwise. In other words, what's the opposite of unwise is what? Foolish. So we don't want to be foolish. Like I told you, my wife is looking at me like, don't. I've got a friend of mine named Barry Vaught. He's a preacher friend of mine. He lives down in Kentucky. And every now and then I'll send him a video clip, or he'll send me one, and it's of him or it's of me, and we'll be looking in it, and I say, Barry, you got to act foolish. We get a kick out of that. We have fun with that. But that's what it means. It really, to be unwise is be foolish. We don't need to be foolish. He said, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, there's too many Christians that have this idea that discovering the Lord's will in our life is some kind of mysterious thing. And it's going to be really hard. I've had people over the years, what's the Lord's will in my life? Can you help me with that? I've even asked that myself. I've asked that to God. I've asked that to other people. What's the Lord's will in my life? It's not some kind of a mystical thing that we can't figure out. Matter of fact, thinking that way is wrong, but it's also dangerous. It can be real dangerous for us. We got to be careful with that. We open up the door for some bad things. We discover really the will of God as He transformed our minds. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, transform your minds. Why do we got to transform our mind? Listen, when we got saved, there wasn't just some automatic deal that everything in here just flipped. And all of this stuff that we've learned over all the years changed. It didn't do that. What about these young people that get saved when they're young? You know, they get saved when they're 5, 6, 7, 8. The problem is the world fills our minds daily. So we constantly have to look at Romans 12. And he says in Romans 12, I think it's verse 2, he says, transform your minds. How do we transform our mind? By the Word of God. And it's what we're doing right now. We have to work on that. It's a daily thing because, as I've told you, as I've said before, when you get saved, now you've got two thought patterns. And whichever one you feed is the one that's going to control. If you feed the fleshly desires of our life, that's what's going to control our lives. If we feed the spiritual side of our lives, that's what's going to control that. So, if we'll work at it, the transformation is the result of the Word of God through prayer, meditation. You know, I like the way J. Vernon McGee, I don't like the word meditation, but I like the way J. Vernon McGee used to put it. He said, an old cow, he said, she goes out in the morning and she eats that nice moist grass. And then during the day, she's laying up there under the tree and she does it. She's chewing her cud. Now, I can't do that. It'd probably help you lose weight, but I can't do that. But the idea is, read the Word of God. Ought to be the first thing in the morning. Pray, read the Word of God, and then during the day, think about that. Chew on that. Chew on the Word. Kind of like the old cow chews on her cud. She's laying there and she's bored to death under the shade tree because it's way too hot to go out and stand there and eat. So she's chewing on her cud. That's what we need when we get the opportunity. Now, when you're working, you know, doing a job, you need to keep your mind on what you're doing. That's why you keep all those fingers and stuff. But and you need to pay attention when you're driving. And but when we get the opportunity, we need to be going back over what we read and what we studied. And that helps us. So it's the Word of God and prayer, and it's meditating on what you've been studying and reading, and worship. We're to worship God. We're to give Him ourselves. Amen. That's what He's wanting. If God gave you a mind, my mother-in-law always used to say that, then you ought to use it. You know, she used to tell me all the time, listen, common sense, God gave you common sense, use it. God gave you a mind, use it. sometimes that's not easy to do. But anyway, so really what it means is that learning His will, it involves us digging in the Word of God. It involves us gathering facts, examining the Word of God. We're going to talk about a group of people that did that. Weighing them. Seeing what's for you and what isn't for you. Oh, I thought the whole Bible was for us. Not really. Judas went out and hung himself. Go do thou likewise. If you take it out of context, it can do that. No, listen, he talks to the Israelites about some things. It has nothing to do with me. It has all to do with the Israelites, but it don't have anything to do with me. So we need to weigh it out, see what's going on. And we ought to be praying for wisdom. James, hang on to Ephesians, or you can just write it down. But the book of James, chapter 1, verse 5. Very familiar verse to everybody, or should be. James chapter 1, verse 5 said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And it says, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto you. If we ask for wisdom to understand something, then He'll give it to you. He says He will. He said, don't waver about it. Just ask for wisdom in what you're studying, what you're reading, and He'll give it to you. Now, He may not give it all to you today, because you may not can handle it all today. But He will give it to you. He said so. You see, God doesn't want us to just simply know His will. He wants us to understand His will. It's one thing to know the will of God. But we got to understand the will of God. This is like me being a preacher. I knew that was God's will in my life, to preach and to pastor. But I needed to understand it. And in order for me to understand it, I had to do a lot of studying. I had to do a lot of praying about it. I had to start asking God, hey, I need some clarification on things. There's some things in here that I've been told over the years and that I've read over the years that may not, they're not, what would I say? Some of them are gray and some of them aren't. Some of it's just plain black and white. I can see it. But some of them are like, wait a second. Which way do I want to? So we have to pray on those things, and we have to ask God for wisdom on those things. You see, Paul, he looks at Ephesians 2:10 as the easy one. Because God has a plan for us. Paul spoke about that in Ephesians. I don't know why I can't memorize that verse. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, I had to get it down pat in my mind about this ordaining part and about this predestinating part. It's like, wait a second. You mean some of us are predestinated to go to heaven and some are going to hell? No. But I didn't quite understand that because I had listened to some preachers that let you know, well, there's an elect group. And it's just funny they happen to be the elect group. So I had to get some understanding on that. I did. Ask the Lord to help me. Why did they even use the word in there? Because it causes controversy. I think a lot of times it's so it'll make you study. You see, really we need to look at it. If God saved me, then he has a purpose for my life. And really I should be wanting to discover what that purpose is. And be wanting a guidance in my life accordingly to that purpose. Now, when I finally figured it out, yeah, I went the wrong way for a long time, but I did understand it, and I did get the idea, because, see, he reveals his plan through his word. Go to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. He says, "For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." You see, God wants us to do that, and he reveals that through his word to us. He also reveals it through his spirit. Look at chapter 3, verse 15 of Colossians. "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel," "and let the peace of God," verse 15, "and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." So we got to let the peace of God rule in our hearts, and he reveals it in the spirits of our hearts. We come together to learn the word of God. The working of circumstances. Things that happen in your life. You ever wonder why certain things happen in your life? Sometimes it's just because the sun come up and it's going to happen. You know, I've had flats before. And I think, now why did God allow me to have a flat? I don't need a flat today. Neither, and on top of that, I didn't need the money because it ripped the whole... I didn't need to spend the money because it ripped the whole side out of my tire. Now I got to buy a whole tire because when you go to put the spare on, it don't work because it's flat. Because you've been stuck under your truck for how many years? Sometimes it's not just God said, well, let's give him a flat. You know, sometimes we think that though, don't we? Well, God give me a flat for some reason. I've even drove down the highway looking for the reason why I might have had a flat. You know? Now, one morning I'm coming across I-40 going into California. Actually, I was still in New Mexico. And I blew a tire. Now, I'm going to be up front with you. It was on the back, one of my tandems. And it blew and it shook my truck. I had been up for about 18, 19 hours. When it blew, I was no longer sleepy. The adrenaline flowed within me. I had to bring my heart back down because I thought somebody had shot me with a bazooka or something, you know. And so I pulled into the truck stop and the guy says, "Man, you look rough." I said, "Yeah, just fix my tire." I couldn't have went to sleep if I'd have wanted to right that minute. And I stayed awake the rest of the day waiting for another one to try. Sometimes I think God caused the issue to happen so that I'd wake up. Because when it blew, honestly, my head was down. I was asleep. And so I think he'd done that to wake me up. Well, I could be wrong. But Romans 8:28 tells us, and most everybody knows that verse. Some of us have problems with that verse, don't we? I have had in the past problems with this verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You mean everything works together for good to all of us that love God? Then enlighten me. Why did he take my uncle, who prayed for me all the time, How come he took my wife? How come he took my husband? How could all of this, does all that, how come he caused these issues in my, for one, he may not have caused all those issues. It's just life. People live and people die. According to the word of God, you live here long enough, you're going to die. I'm kind of hoping one day when it happens, it's like that quick. And I wake up in heaven and they say, you didn't feel nothing? You know, that'll be nice. Yeah. Anybody ever remembers a show, Warren Beatty, I think it was, played on it? Heaven Can Wait. He's riding a bicycle and he goes through a tunnel and all of a sudden he wakes up in heaven. And Gabriel is the guy that took him. And God says, what'd you take him for? Oh, it was going to be bad. I was helping him. No, you can't. But he'd done been gone too long. He'd pronounced him dead. You know, he'd be flatlined and everything. It was kind of a humorous show. But listen, that's kind of, if you want to go, that'd be the way to go. Just super quick. I always figured I'll lay around and suffer for 4 or 5 years. And, you know, parts fall off. And no, I don't know. I may die of cancer. And then again, I may die of some other dreaded. COVID didn't kill me. So I may die of something else. But guess what? If that's the way God wants to take me out this way, I'll leave. When I get to heaven, all of that ain't going to matter. And guess what? While I'm in the process of dying, if I'm still in my right mind, I should probably be telling people about the Lord Jesus. You know, honestly, I used to watch Brother Field. He was hilarious. He's in here vacuuming one day, just getting after it. He had dementia. And I said, Brother Phil, if you plug this up, it'd work better. He said, no, you don't want to plug it up. I said, no. He said, no, it's rackety. He said, it works a whole lot better this way. I'm like, okay. I left him alone and let him do it. But I've asked myself over and over again, why did God allow him to get that way? I don't know. Same reason my grandmother. She had that problem. I'd sit down in the bed with her. And she'd look at a picture and she'd say, you know, that's my grandson. Oh, that's silly. That's you, huh? Hey, it's just the way it worked. But all of it works together for good. If we'll seek the good from it, you'd be surprised. I believe you can find it. I told you about a friend of mine lost his son in a car wreck, that his wife was going to have a baby that month. And I'm like, why in the world did God allow him to die? I mean, he hadn't been married long. But I think it was 65, wasn't it, Sandy? People come to know the Lord Jesus at his funeral. 65 or 75 professed salvation that day. Look, how many of those would have ever gotten saved if that hadn't happened? All right, I got to keep moving. Oh, that's a second hand. I thought, good grief. So the Christian, really, we can walk carefully and we can be, you know, we can be, what I want to say, at peace, because we know that what God wants in our lives. Number one, he wants us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds in the Word of God. If we do that, that opens a whole lot more doors. You see, it's kind of like somebody that builds. When you build something, I used to do layout and stuff on these big high rises and years ago, and we used blueprints. Without a blueprint, it's hard to say what it would look like. May not look very good. This right here, that's our blueprint. And if we'll follow our blueprint, we'll be surprised where it takes us. I think it helps a whole lot. Do we get off sometimes? Sure. We get outside the line. We may take a wrong measurement here and there. We were building some columns in Vail Run, not Vail Run, in Vail, Colorado, and I forget the name of the place anyway. I couldn't say it if I did. It was German. But we were building, and we built these columns. We built those columns, two of them, four times. Twice was because we were doing the wrong measurement. We wasn't reading it quite right. The other two times was the architect's fault. Because they think everything, just because they put it on paper, works. Unlike the Bible, blueprints don't always work. This one right here, it don't have no mistakes. Listen, God's word will give you the direction that you're supposed to go in. If we're willing to listen to it, if you go back over there to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, what's it tell us again? I got to get to chapter 5 or I'll read you the wrong verse. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, we're to allow the Spirit to control our lives. And we'd be surprised where our lives go. You see, I look at things this way. You were brought to Wagon Wheel. Everybody that's here tonight, you were brought here for a purpose. And by the way, you were brought here by the Holy Spirit. Well, no, I drove a Ford. Well, it's a wonder you didn't walk. No, I just stumbled onto the church. Really? I don't believe in coincidences when it comes to my spiritual life. There are some coincidences in life. But when it comes to my spiritual life, there are no consequences. God directed it that away for whatever reason. And hey, I need to be looking at it. You see, I don't believe in just a coincidence. I believe the Holy Ghost, it was divine guidance for a divine purpose, for a divine reason, the reason people are here in Wagon Wheel. I'm not worried about any other church out here. I believe you came here for a purpose. I believe the Holy Spirit directed an individual here. I'm going to be up front with you. I believe it's from divine guidance that I'm here. You see, God brought me here to what? To teach, to preach, to be the spiritual leader, to be the pastor of Wagon Wheel. That's why I ended up here. I could go into the whole story, and it's like, high in the world did I end up here? You know, there's no way. And God has a sense of humor with it. I'll try to make it fast. I'm laying in bed in 2011. No, 20 would have been 2012. December 2012. It's cold in Kentucky. It's raining. It's miserable. I've been trying to open doors. I go on this site for ABA workers, and I see that they want a missionary pastor in Henderson, Nevada, and I just started laughing. And she says, "What are you laughing at?" I said, "These nuts are needing a pastor in Henderson, Nevada." She started laughing. She knew where Henderson was. We'd been to downtown Vegas more than once. And I'm like, good grief. March 2013, I come out to Colorado because I had moved down to Kentucky a year prior to all that. March, I end up in Colorado to visit with my son. Ain't told a soul I was coming. Jimmy walks into a church that Sunday. He said, "I hear rumor your dad's going to be here." And he said, no, that was a different one. I got them mixed up. I get to Jimmy's house. A friend of mine calls me. Some of you may know him. His name's John Sanders. He was a pastor of Loveland Baptist Church. He calls me. He says, I hear you're in town. I'm like, well, who told you? And I didn't ask him that. But Jimmy ain't told him. And he says, I want to meet with you tomorrow. Or the next day. I said, well, we meet tomorrow. I go over there and meet with him. He says, I want you to pray about doing churches on the Front Range of Colorado, I-25 corridor. And I said, brother, I don't feel the desire from the Lord at all to come over here. I said, I ain't lost nothing in this state. I said, especially the eastern slope. And if you've ever lived there, you'll know why. But anyway, it's very liberal. And so I said, you know what, Brother John? I said, I'll pray about it. I said, but I don't feel it. Well, pray about it. I said, okay. I leave, and I'm going down the highway, and to make a long story short, the phone rings. It's John Sanders, and I'd been talking to her about trying to figure out what I need to do. And she had said, call Brother John. And I'm like, I ain't calling him. And I answered the phone because it was him, and I'm laughing. And he says, hey, he said, I just had a guy call me and wants to know if I knew anybody that was wanting to head out west and feels the Lord is calling them that direction. And he says, I give them your name if that's okay and your number. He said, I'm going to if it's all right. I said, sure. I said, I'll go preach for him. I said, where's it at? He said, Henderson, Nevada. He said, you know where that's at? And I'm just like, really? And then I ended up here. Amen. You see, I believe God brought me here for a purpose, and it was to teach and to preach biblical truth. Now, with that said, I believe God brought you here for a purpose. Why do we come to church? For one, we come to encourage others. We're an encouragement to each other when we show. We really are. Two, we're to be learning biblical truths. We're to be preparing ourselves to go up there. That's really what it's all about, is getting ready to go to heaven. So when we get there, it won't be such a shock. You know, there's some people going to get there and they're going to be like, well, I wasn't done there yet. It's sad. But listen, God brings us to places for a purpose. You see, he brought us here to learn biblical truth. Let me go to Acts chapter 18. Yeah, we're doing good. Acts chapter 18. See, I got to get a lot in tonight. But we're just about there. Acts chapter 8. Did I say 18? Yeah. Acts chapter 18, verse 24. A certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. He went and he taught and he preached, and he was good, and he was in love with the Lord. He wanted to do the Lord's work. But here was a problem. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Ah! He really wasn't doing wrong. He wasn't totally wrong with what he was doing, but he was missing some important things. See, in our lives, we are missing important things sometimes. Sometimes we need to know a little more about this, or we need to know a little more about that, or we might have it this way, and maybe it ought to be that way. You see, if we're willing to listen to the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit's willing to tell us. There again, I believe we're here for a divine purpose, and it's through the Word of God that we learn. Apollos didn't quite have it. He had part of it, But he didn't have all of what he needed. Aquila and Priscilla happened to be there and said, "Oh, we can fix this. We know what you're missing." I believe it was divine guidance of the Holy Spirit that brought Apollos over to Ephesus while Aquila and Priscilla was there to teach him. You see, we have to look at it that way. I went from this church to in Mississippi, and then I went to this church in Colorado, and then this church in Kentucky. And it was for a purpose before I was preaching. It was so I would learn some things that I needed to know that wasn't what I knew was wrong. It's just some of it was mixed up, jumbled up. Some of it I was thinking a little bit different than I should have. Like, oh. That's what it's about. It's about learning. See, we've got to be like those in, I think it's Berea. Paul shows up and preached to them. They were more nobler than those over at Thessalonica because they studied the scriptures to see if what Paul was telling them was true. He said, "We got to study this out, Paul. What you're telling us is, meh." That's where we back up and we start saying, "Wait a minute, we need to pray about this. Because I ain't sure." See, I'm dealing with a person right now, with a few folks, that think that the rapture, and I've known people for years, I've got some friends of mine back in Kentucky and other places, that thinks the rapture doesn't happen till the end of the tribulation period. I'm like, well, either way you look at it, we go into heaven. Whether it's pre-trib, mid-trib, or end-trib. I see it in the Word of God, pre-trib. At one time, I saw a mid-trib. But then I started praying more about it, and the Lord started laying it on my heart and got me to listening to a certain person, friend of mine, and I realized, oh, wait a second. Boy, that made a lot of sense. But I had read it time and time before that, and it's like, I don't see it. I wasn't ready for it. God brought that person into my life and brought me to that person by divine guidance so I would understand that. Am I willing to listen to the Holy Spirit? That's your big question. See, when things come up, now if I'm standing up here and I'm preaching to you and I say, you know, Mary, she was a maiden. She wasn't a virgin. I mean, really, you need to boot me out because that's hogwash. That's heresy. There's certain doctrines you don't even discuss. That's the way it is because that's what the Word says. Mary was a virgin and she was going to have a kid from the Holy Spirit. There ain't no other way to see it. There are a few things in here, though, when we get to them, we're like, wait a minute. That ain't what I was told. Here, I'll tell you one because I got 2 minutes. When I grew up in the South, okay? So I'll blame it on that. I don't know who else to blame it on. When I grew up in the South, I heard preacher after preacher after preacher, the blacks are cursed of God. That's why they're black. Because of Ham. Ham was cursed. Therefore, the blacks are cursed. I'm like, okay. Makes sense to me. Whatever. But when you get to studying that, you find out Ham wasn't cursed. Neither were the blacks black because of that. Had nothing to do with it. But you had to study it out to see it. Because people had taught you that all those years. It's like, wait a minute. Well, you mean I was told that and it wasn't true? Uh-huh. There's a lot of things in the Word of God that we need to study out, just like the Bereans did. They studied it to see if it was so. And we need to do that. And when we study it and we pray about it and we ask the Lord for the wisdom to understand it, then we're like, okay. So all of that, basically what we've been talking about, came from that one verse. Ephesians 5 and 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord, the reason you're at Wagon Wheel, is because that was the will of the Lord for you to be here. Otherwise, I'll be up front with you. You wouldn't be here. You don't just stumble into church. It doesn't happen that way. The Lord directs you. I don't care if you're lost and you say, well, I stumbled into church. That's how I got saved. Yeah, the Holy Spirit went right on in the door. And then you heard the word of God and you got saved. That's what happens. That's the way it takes place. I don't believe the church I went to in 1984 in Corpus Christi, Texas, was accidental that I went that morning. I believe the Lord led me to church to hear that guy preach. And he said, before you leave here today, you'll know whether you're going to hell or heaven. And I figured it out real quick. If I die right now, I'm going to hell. I don't believe it was just because my sister went there. I don't think it was just because, well, Sandy got up and wanted to go to church. Because I'd have rather went to the beach. We didn't live but a few miles. It was all because the Lord gave me the direction He wanted me to have. And all the people He's put in my life since then, and the learning I've done since then, has all been His doing. So it just, basically, it depends on whether we're willing to listen to what the Lord has for us. If we are, then we can learn. If we're not willing, think about what would have happened. And I'm going to quit. Don't panic. Think about what would have happened if Apollos, when Priscilla and Aquila came to him and said, we need to talk to you. Think about what would have happened if he'd have said, well, who in heck died and left you in charge? Things at Ephesus might have been different. You know, we have to remember that. You find somebody that's following the Lord Jesus, and you believe that the Lord has led you to that place and that person. And as long as that teacher, that preacher, that missionary, whatever it may be, is preaching from the Word of God, you better take heed to what he's saying. Because that's what the Lord's laid on it. I don't understand why I preach a lot of the things I preach. Sometimes I preach things and I'm like, what's that got to do with? Listen, God knows what people need to hear. Whether it be on this recording that we put on Sermon Audio or Facebook or whether it be in here. God knows what each person needs to hear. What they need to understand and what they need to pray about. So I just leave it all up to him. It's a lot easier that way. Amen.